Home, we are WNST. Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is Preakness Week here. Luke's going to be at the ballpark. We got NFL schedules, all this stuff going on. But I don't want to waste any time. But before I bring Bob Baffert on here, I need to say that we have moved the world-famous annual Crab Derby. And these are not mechanical crabs. These are real crabs, despite what Peter would tell you. We're going to be at the Lexington Market Plaza on Friday before the Orioles game. Also going to be giving away the Pac-Man Scratch, also in the Maryland Lottery, with thanks to our friends at Liberty Pure and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Bob Baffert is a returning champion to this program. I've been knowing Bob. I think he's chasing his first or second Preakness here. I'm working on like Preakness 38 for me, I think, even though it's 149. Bob is coming in with a favorite that didn't win the Derby, which makes it even more fun. It's always fun because Bob's going to be here. Bob, welcome home. You're not here yet, but I know this feels like a second home when you get off the plane at BWI, right?
Well, thanks for having me on. You and I, we go way back. We've been doing this, and you brought me a lot of luck, and I'm looking forward to the – it's crab cake time, so.
How many times have you lost the Preakness?
I've lost it more than I've won it.
Well, then, what luck was I at that point? That you weren't giving me any props on that before. How are you? How's your health? How you feeling? It's been a little while. We haven't had you on. Obviously, the Churchill thing, get to that. But, like, how you doing? What version of Bob Baffert are we going to get here this week?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be actually, it's going to be a very good Preakness. It's a very competitive field, and you know, anytime you have the Derby winner in there, it makes it really exciting. And it was so I'm coming in there with two good horses. You know, Muth is coming off a big win in the Arkansas Derby. Imagination just missed in the Santa Anita Derby, and he's a horse that's improving. And so, and we had the great Frankie Dettori on him, who's been, you know, one of the probably top 10 greatest jockeys ever in the history of the sport, is riding him. So he brings a lot to the party.
Bob, for you, it's got to be weird to watch the Derby on TV to start with, but then this race happens and it's nose, 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 and it becomes this kind of race that I need to ask you just about that kind of a race, being involved in that and seeing it on a Derby day. And now you're looking to go beat that horse.
Yeah, I mean, the Derby, it was very exciting race. I mean, for those horses to coming down, you know, dueling the stretch, it looked like Mystic Dan was just going to win by three or, I mean, he just looked like he was gone. And there's the Forever Young, the horse from Japan, he ran just a really big race. And then Sierra Leone, he just came so unlucky to just come. He needed one more jump. And it was a thrilling finish for such a big race, for 20 horses to have that kind of a thrilling finish. It's been years since, I think I'm the last thrilling finish, when I got nailed on the wire with Cavaneer.
Well, we don't talk about the losses. I brought you good luck on the wins. I should have just taken that and rolled with it. Bob Baffert is our guest. He'll be in this week with two horses. Alibi Breakfast, Half the Track's Condemned. We've been talking about this forever and ever and ever for your love of Baltimore. Were we going to save the race? We're going to heal the race, all of that. Bob, I've spent the last month now with everybody from David Richardson here with the Horsemen and Alan Foreman in the state of Maryland. I'm going to have the governor on. I think we finally have this thing in order. I think you'll come here 5 years from now, God willing, with a horse or three, and there'll be a whole new thing here. And I know from my perspective, that's exciting, being the Baltimore guy. But for the guy that, you know, has Preakness and American Pharoah behind you and all of that, you want to see this get better too.
Well, I think it's very important because it's historic. It's a historic track, for one. The greatest horses have ever competed in racing have competed in Pimlico, in the Preakness. You know, going back to Secretariat, you know, Sunday Silence, all the great horses that came through Pimlico. And there's a lot of history there, a lot of tradition. And we have to keep that alive to keep this. That's what makes the Triple Crown race is so important, because it's when people are probably, we probably have more eyeballs during the classics than we do any other time of the year.
Well, and then we have these classics, and there's been questions about 2 weeks and running horses and just the fact that Kenny McPeak wins this race, and we're questioning, is the horse going to come back? Is there going to be a Derby winner in the Preakness? And I go back to Spend a Buck, and I was giving Dick Girardi a hard time for the 40th year in a row here. We were colleagues 40 years ago here at the News America, and he ran off the filly after Spend a Buck. I said, we never got him back. He never came back to Baltimore. And we've had a couple of years where that's been the case. Some years you've been a guy that's taken advantage of that. Some years you've won a Derby and brought the horse in. That decision for you, on behalf of the horse, on behalf of ownership, on behalf of the value of these horses and the humane part of doing this, where are you if you were God, if you get made racing commissioner Bob Baffert in a consolidated effort years from now, what would be perfect for these races?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a traditionalist. So when I came into the sport, you know, the Derby, the Preakness of Belmont, they were still way up there. And all of a sudden, in the last probably 8-10 years, it started, you know, that we were losing, the horses were skipping because, you know, when you have 20 horses running the Kentucky Derby, a lot of them, half of them, you know, they get wiped out, they get bumped around, they get knocked around. And just getting to the Derby is tough, you know, with all the prep races and everything. And so then, it takes you about a week to get over that ass kicking. Okay. That's to put it. I remember looking at Lucky. There was no way he was the favorite for the Derby. Got completely wiped out, hit the fence, hit the rail and the stretch. And it was just a terrible race for him. And I was not going to bring him to the Preakness. He was tired. He was knocked out. And it took him about 5-6 days. And all of a sudden he was back to himself, you know, and so we decided to run him and he wins a Preakness. So a lot of horses, you know, come out of it in different ways, you know, so they're tougher. And so, you know, they say, has the breed changed? I don't think the breed has changed. That's true. I think the trainers nowadays, you know, like, you know, you see analytics thrown around.
Sure, I'm a baseball guy. It's changed everything, right?
And I think it's changed horse racing because a lot of these trainers feel like, you know, well, if I give this horse extra time, he's going to come back and perform better. Well, which is true. So if you know, somebody asked me today, what if they made it, you know, every 30 days, you know, they're thinking about making it, extend it, give it 3 weeks or 30 days. And for the Belmont, you think it would be tougher or easier. I think it would probably be easier.
It would have to be easier on the horse, right?
And easier on the horse, and it would be, it probably would have had more Triple Crown winners in the past if they did that, you know. And so you're giving up two things. The Triple Crown is, there's only been a few winners because I've been through it 5 times. You needed a superior horse to win it, superior.
And like the one over your shoulder there, American Pharoah.
Exactly,
right?
American Pharoah. I mean, and then Justified, just superior. They're better than all the rest of three of that crop. And so, you know, you're going to lose that aspect of it. But if that's what it takes to keep it going, you know, that's what you want. But I really feel that I think you're going to lose. You have a captive audience when you have it within 2 weeks, because people, you know, we have so many sports going on now. Back in the day, you know, horse racing was a big thing, and so now we have so many sports going on now.
As you're wearing Dodger gear on my Baltimore, you know, on my station here, you know, so and I got to get a Dodger dog and a beer at Dodger Stadium. No better place than Dodger Stadium to watch a ball game. So that's always welcome right here. But Bob, let me ask you this, because I joke, we're doing this crab derby with real crabs here because we're in Maryland. It's crab derby. The PETA people have called and said that they want us to use mechanical crabs, right? Like, so we can chuckle at that or whatever, but it's not a laughing matter in your industry where humane, equine, all of the issues that humans would have with animals. And then yet I talk to you year after year for almost 30 years now, you and I go at this, and I can't think of anybody that could love an animal more than you love the animals, even though you eat off the animals and try to make these animals comfortable, happy, and bred to run. But you talk about a horse having a rough trip and your conscience. And I was going to ask you, when you're like, the horse wasn't himself, bounced back. And I'm thinking, what could I ask Bob Baffert about knowing when a horse feels good or not. I mean, you have a gift for that, obviously, over the course of time, a study of that, that I can never begin to understand, like understanding these horses in the way that you live with them every day.
Well, it's a lot about it's body language, experience being around them, and they will tip you off when they're starting to come back to their you know, we wear them every day. We watch them train. We watch them. You watch the way they eat. You'll always hear trainers say, "Hey, the next day, oh, he ate up well." Well, of course he ate. You fed him his oats. He ate, you know. But what it means is that if you as a human being, if you're stressed out and you're not hungry and you skip dinner or something, that means you're not in a good frame of mind, right? So horses, that's how they tip us off. If they don't eat their grain or something is, you know, they're not in a great frame of mind. So we see those signals and we work off of that, and we wait, we give them time until they get back into their regular normal well-being, the way they act. That's when we know we can continue on with them.
You know, I was amazed. My wife battled leukemia 10 years ago at Science, and taking her blood and knowing every single molecule of everything to heal her. And I think in your industry, I think about baseball, they measure everything and, you know, spin rate, analytics, launch. In your industry, how much has that accountability that you've been through, and we can talk about with Churchill, but all of that, but cameras on the animals, knowing what the animals, really studying the animals 24 hours a day, in the same way the football players want their football players to get to the field. I would think your industry's just changed dramatically from the beginning of what you used to think you knew about a horse until what you now scientifically can know about how the horse is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've changed a lot with diagnostics. We have all these machines now. We can detect things before they can happen. So we're constantly scanning these horses. It's really come around, and we didn't have it before. And you're going to see, you know, it's easier, because if you feel sometimes if your horse isn't training well, we'll put them through different tests. We can, you know, before we could just x-ray them, and sometimes the x-ray won't show it. So you scan them and you can pick up little things that prevent them, you know. So we've come a long way.
What has to happen this week for you to win the race and coming in as a favorite and trying to take down the Derby winner? And I know that's a good role for you, the black hat and the ninth Preakness, for you to come in here in Baltimore with the sunglasses on.
Well, it's exciting to be able to have a horse this caliber to come in there. You know, we're coming across. They're good horses, and I'm excited about them. And this is what our program is all about, the young horses and getting them to the big races, to be on the big stage. And the clientele, they get excited, and it's going to be, and this year particularly, it's a really strong race. I think it's very competitive, and there's some other good horses in there. You've got, you know, Chad Brown's bringing in one. Brad Cox is tough. Lucas is there. Lucas, he's still here, you know, and he's still tough. And so it's good to see Kenny McPeak, who beat me a couple of years with the filly. He's always tough. So it's like we're getting the old band back together.
I said to Girardi early in the week, I'm like, where's Nicky Zito? Let's get everybody back in here. But there is something for all of the names you named who are your colleagues in the business, and you're the ones that speak much more so than even the jockeys, and certainly more than the horses, but the stars of the sport, of which you're clearly one of, that you really love coming to Baltimore. And it's not about purses and money and the biggest this or the best that or whatever. You love this part of the pageantry. All of you do, and all of you have had success here, and all of you come to my town and you speak so highly of it and your love of coming, and we haven't even given you all a good ride yet, you know, with a great building, and I see what they've done at Churchill with a paddock and this and that, and I'm thinking that's all coming here. But part of it is, when you come in here, you speak good about our town, and we're appreciative of that. All of you come here and you show up and you say awesome things when you leave. That is not always the case for my town, Bob.
Well, I mean, we're treated like royalty when we get there. The horses are, and we're all in the same barn together, so it's exciting. And it's the only place where you go, even if you get beat, you leave here like, well, it was fun. We had fun. You know, so We got beat up, but we had fun, and we're going to come back. And so it, and I don't, to me, it's the second leg. It's probably the funnest of all of them because, the pressure of the Derby, the lead up to the Derby, everybody's, to get there under stress. And then once you have the Derby winner and you bring him, it's all about the Derby winner. We're watching him and you get to look at him closely there. And you see all the horses in the barn and you get to talk to everybody. And it's like when everybody's together, usually we don't, like if you go to the Belmont or the Derby, you don't see other trainers. You're different. They're in different barns, whatever. We're all there together, And so it's like being at the Pro Bowl,
It's
everybody's there
communal.
together.
It's communal.
Yes.
Do you not eat crabs, like actual crabs or just crab cake? I'm trying to understand because I know you eat a lot of crab cakes. We've been through this, but have you put a mallet on a crab in your time here?
Not basically crab cakes. When I go there, I just crab cakes.
Look, Bob,
I'm not good. I'm not good with a mallet.
you're an eight-time Preakness champion. It's time that we get you over to Costas and just beat on, especially if you lose. If you lose, there's some therapeutic part of that you can use this for, bud, you know?
I did what I went I went I did went to a crab place where it was, I forget the name of the restaurant, but there was
Dude, you're a horse trainer. You already have dirty hands. You've already got
it's a big
90% of it. Most people can't get past the dirty hand part, you know?
it's probably the place you're talking about.
All
It's
right, well,
been a
listen.
while though,
Get in here, settle down. Is there anything you want to say about Churchill on the way out the door? I mean, you talk about the Derby and you've been in that spotlight. You want to win a Derby again. I think I want to see you compete. Everybody in the industry wants to see you compete again. Do you have anything to say just on the way out? Because I hope you're back in the race next year. I hope this thing's on the up and up for you.
Well, I mean, we're totally committed to, finding a resolution with Churchill Downs. I'm hoping to be back, because it's a great race and it was fun watching it. And so, the Kentucky Derby is very important to our industry.
Well, the roses look nice with your hair these days, the red rose. So we'll try to make that happen. But you're going to look good. But Black Eyed Susan's in here this week. Preakness Stakes, the Woodlawn Vase. I took a picture with that the other day at the post position draw. Bob Baffert is an eight-time champion and a champion of my hometown of Baltimore. He comes in every year to try to steal this race. Got two horses this week. A great field in the 149th running of the Preakness Stakes. Get on out and support the race here this week. Bob, appreciate you always. All these years, you've been great to me. And I left you out of the 25th anniversary documentary, and Eddie Frankovic gave me a foot up my ass. He said, "How could you not put a picture of you and Baffert in the documentary?" So I'm apologizing to you personally.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. And we'll see you this weekend.
Thanks for turning the cameras on and let us see American Pharoah there. I appreciate you. Bob Baffert, champion back in Baltimore this weekend, eating crab cakes and maybe sometimes crabs with a mallet. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.